You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The Boston police want to remove tents and tarps from the area around Melniakes Boulevard and Massachusetts Avenue without the level of restrictions currently in place for them. And one reason? They say the temporary structures give cover to human trafficking. Boston Heat, or Human Exploitation and Trafficking, has been working at Massencast for years, trying to get women out of exploitation. It is a collaboration with Mass General Hospital and the Boston Police Department's Human Trafficking Unit. With us now to talk more, Abigail Judge, who is their clinical director, and Sandra Andrade, a peer advocate. Abigail, welcome.
Thank you.
And Sandra, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have both of you. So, Abigail, I'm going to start with you. We're going to play a little bit of sound here. After Boston Mayor Wu on Friday announces the ordinance that she wants the Boston City Council to pass, Boston Police Commissioner Michael Cox takes the podium immediately after at this press conference and talks about why it's important to allow police to take down the tents and tarps after people are offered the basic things, place to store their goods, transportation, access to other shelter. Here's Michael Cox.
Removing the cloaks and tents and tarps and other makeshift temporary shelters will lessen the appeal of the area and those coming to prey on individuals. The ordinance will give the police the authority to take down the tarps and tents and structures that are occupying public ways and oftentimes are used to shield the criminal disorder that goes on there.
Those coming to prey on individuals, shield the criminal disorder. Mm-hmm. Abigail, you and Sandra have been working at Massencast for years. As someone who spends time there, is that a fair picture? That these that understanding that the tents and tarps have also been a place of residence and safe, you know, safety for people who have not had other places to live, is that a fair characterization from the commissioner?
First, I just want to thank Commissioner Cox and Mayor Wu for explicitly naming the problem of commercial sexual exploitation in this area, which has been grossly overlooked relative to the other crises there. So I'm very heartened by this conversation, and we're honored to be engaging in this conversation today. With respect to Commissioner Cox's comments, yes, the tents have concealed, and we know anecdotally from women, a great deal of violence, sexual exploitation, and other activities. That said, it would be reductive and misleading to say that removal of the tents is the only way to address human trafficking. We want to expand the conversation and make sure people are aware that the criminal element also includes sex buyers who are patronizing this area every day from all around the Commonwealth. It's not simply those who reside on Atkinson that are exploiting and being exploited. There's a whole robust sex market that includes those who are listening right now, mostly men from the South Shore, the North Shore, Metro West are coming. And that's not happening in tents. That's happening in the entire area. It's happening in the entire Commonwealth. And so while we are deeply encouraged by focus on this topic, we cannot simply focus on the tents because that would be reductive and we're going to miss a great deal of the problem.
All right. So at the risk of sounding like I am oversimplifying something, the tents and tarps can give cover to a set of transactions and to victimization. But there is a problem of larger demand here that doesn't have anything to do with tents and tarps.
100% correct. Yes.
Okay. So, Sandra, I noticed that you shook your head there like you were agreeing. So I'm just going to invite you to pick it up there.
I think the tents and tarps, like there's the drug deals that it's covering, but not the actual exploitation because it's like in the area. It's not the men that are doing the drugs in the area that are exploiting the women necessarily. It's men coming from all over.
So, Sandra, you know, you chose to be a peer advocate because you've experienced sexual exploitation.
Yes. Being a young runaway, I was exploited by an older gentleman. Exploitation comes in, like, all different forms. So what I do is, like, it's really crucial for me to, like, build a relationship with these women because when I was being exploited, I had no women that were healthy in these spaces. Like, it's only when you're ready to exit or you're ready to stop using that you get a lot of support, but not when you're in it. So it's really important for me to build these relationships with these women while they're in this.
So what strikes me about that, Sandra, and I'll stay with you for a second longer, when Abigail says it would be reductive to talk about the tarps and tents have nothing to do with relationships. What you're talking about is a much deeper sense of outreach to help women who are really vulnerable,
yes,
and unwell meet someone who is well, who can begin to build a relationship with them, whether they're standing under a tarp or not.
That's what it's all about. It's like we walk what we call the stroll. We meet women in all spaces. It's usually not in the tents and tarps. It's all over that area. And just to support them, like if they need, it looks like we're just giving out cigarettes and juice, but we're actually building. It takes months. It can take a year to build a relationship with someone who has no trust for anyone. So this is what we're out there doing, is trying to build really good relationships with these women, and they can see someone who's in a healthy space right now, who's lived this life.
So what is the first sign to you that you're succeeding in building a relationship? What do you see from a woman you've been reaching out to that makes you think this is starting to work?
They start to call us when they see us. Sometimes we won't see them. They'll be like across the street and they're running to us. They want to sit down. They want to go have coffee, or they, like sometimes they just want to hang out. And then they start telling you more and more about the situation and what's happening. So it does take a while to build it, but we start seeing it when they're like calling us, when they don't do that. Or they want us to go with them to court. Like women start showing up to court and clearing warrants with me, or like even going grocery shopping to pick up some things. So this means like I'm actually getting somewhere with these women.
So we're here with Sandra Andrade, who's a peer advocate for Boston HEAT, which stands for Human Exploitation and Trafficking. It's a collaboration between Mass General Hospital and the Boston Police Department. Also with us, Abigail Judge, who's the clinical director for Boston HEAT. And we're looking at this because we're in the middle of some proposed significant changes in the way the city of Boston responds to this area around Malnia-Cass Boulevard and Massachusetts Avenue. So, Abigail Judge, I'll turn back to you now. These are baby steps in what you are clinically talking about and policy talking about as a really big problem. And it is interesting to try to conceive of how we connect going to the grocery store, which we know, right, that someone calls out to Sandra, they start showing up in court, they go to the grocery store, these small signs of hope, of future thinking, of taking that next step, mm-hmm. with the large problem of human trafficking, which you're telling me was sort of almost treated as invisible. So how do we start to connect those dots? Do you understand mm-hmm. my question?
I do. Are you thinking of solutions or responses?
Let's start with responses.
Responses. First step is conversations like this, where we are explicitly naming the problem and, as Sandra said, defining it beyond the vision that I think most people have of international trafficking. I apologize. I don't know the name of that movie that was so successful this summer. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So first, naming the issue. And this is not language we use with women on the streets, to be clear. It's not safe to talk about exploitation on the streets. We don't come in with that kind of language. So the first critical piece is naming it, knowing where it's happening, not reducing it to one street, to one tarp, and also investing in tailored services. Temporary spaces, temporary shelters will not help anyone unless the services are tailored to this population.
So what does that mean? What does tailored services mean, Abigail Judge?
That means for our population, gender-specific spaces that are protected from the street, that are women, that are discreet, that are private, that understand the process of how long it takes for women to build trust with us, let alone start to contemplate their life circumstances and think about making changes with their substance use or their relationships or exploitation. We currently, again, meet with women on the street, and we have a temporary space and are working very hard to find a permanent space. There are models throughout the Commonwealth for low barrier or no barrier shelters for this population, where women who can come in and have a safe place overnight when they're being trafficked, when they're using. We don't have those on Mass Ave. There are models. We have an approach. We have a team. We need dedicated resources.
So, okay. Sorry, like five thoughts crashing in my head at once, because this is so big, right? We could do days on this.
Yes.
I'll turn back to you, Sandra Andrade, mm-hmm. who is a peer advocate. When you hear, you were in the control room listening to the conversation I had a few minutes ago with WBUR's Deborah Becker and with Sue Sullivan from the Newmarket Business District Association, talking about medium and long-term proposals, right? To address what we were focused on was addiction, homelessness, and untreated or undertreated mental health. When we add in the idea that there are women who are being victimized and are being trafficked, and what you've told us about the baby steps that start there, will these models work to help with that, or are we missing key pieces you think we need to be thinking about?
I don't know how to answer that. I think we are missing a lot of key pieces. I know that they're like in a rush to like house some women. Housing is like not gonna fix the issue, right? So I think these women need like special services like for themselves, like dedicated to these women. So it's like a lot of, I don't have like an actual like idea of how this is gonna look, but these women do need special services. It's really different.
And I'll come back to you in a second, Abigail, to flesh that out. So, Sandra, the thousands of people who are listening right now, what do you want? Sorry, that freaked you out because I pointed out how many people are listening. I'm just listening. Just talk to me here. Uh-huh. What do you want me to understand that you know I probably don't right now?
How this looks when people say human trafficking. It's like, oh, someone's tied up or they're held against their will. It looks different. Like some of these women, they don't have pimps, right? But they do have an issue with addiction. And there's people, like I said, coming in from all over. These women are being exploited by men with money. It's not the men in the area, per se. So it a lot of people just think of, like, I guess, like Pretty Women or the movie Taken. That's not what's happening. It's like, it's not always like just a pimp. It's these men who are literally coming in from all over. It could be lawyers, doctors, even police, exploiting these women.
So, Abigail, that's going to stop some people in their tracks, just hearing what Sandra said. You wanted to pick up on the special services idea.
I did, and I think you did beautiful, Sandra. I'm going to pick up just where she left off, is that the earlier focus that we heard is so important to think about more resources. But we must remember that this is a population that has been so chronically traumatized, so marginalized, that just offering, here's a bed, here's a shelter, here's a detox, we are missing the boat. We need painstakingly slow time and resources to build relationships that restore these women's trust in relationship, in themselves, in trust of each other. We have to be a bridge to the providers that they can't or won't access. That includes healthcare, the police. The complete lack of trust prevents them, as well as their severe, again, lifelong traumatization that came before this, from using the services. So it's not simply about we need more transitional space and beds. There has to be support for the process that helps these women utilize these services.
Is it possible to remain in touch with women that you are trying to work with if, over time, the admirable goal of reducing the concentration of need in the area is successful?
Excellent question. We work very hard to maintain connection with women. We buy a lot of phones. We lose a lot of phones. We are out in the street precisely because we know where people hang out. We have a presence at the Suffolk County House of Correction and Mass General Hospital. We get referrals from BMC. The idea being we want to be in systems where these women touch. But your point, I know, is about if there's dispersal, can we find our women? It will be harder, but the whole impetus of our model is to stay connected no matter what, when they're still in situations of exploitation, when they're using, and they stay connected.
All right. I think we'll stop there, only because if I ask more questions, oh my God, right? We could go all day. Abigail Judge, Clinical Director for Boston Heat, which is a collaboration working on human trafficking, exploitation and trafficking in the Massancass area. Sandra Andrade, a peer advocate with personal experience doing the painstaking relationship building work every day on the ground there. Thank you so much to both of you for joining us here in Studio 2.